Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. The Medical School HQ Podcast, session number 53. Welcome back to the Medical School HQ Podcast. This is the place to learn how to excel as a pre-med student, learn what it takes to survive medical school, and turn your dreams of becoming a physician into reality. We're bringing you the most unbiased, honest, and accurate information available online today. Hi, folks. As always, my name is Ryan Gray, and I will be your host today. Today, we have a wonderful interview with another medical student, our third in a row. I hope you are learning a ton of great information from these medical students, students that have kind of gone outside of the norm and have followed their own footsteps to get into medical school. And I bring these students on because they're showing you that you don't have to be that perfect medical student, the perfect pre-med student, rather, to get into medical school. Admissions committees aren't looking for the same person in every student they accept. So you don't have to be that hard sciences major. You don't have to have the perfect GPA, the perfect MCAT score. You can be what you want to be and do what you want to do and still have the ultimate goal of being a physician at the end. And that's what today's podcast is all about. Dahlia Munves is a second-year medical student at the University of Texas at Houston, and she also blogs at the Health Scout blog and is on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is at Health Scout Blog. So I'll have links to all of those in the show notes, which you can get at medicalschoolhq.net/53. So Dahlia and I talked a lot about her path into medical school and how she kind of stopped and started on her pre-med journey, kind of didn't really know if medicine was right for her, stopped for a little while, got re-engaged with medicine and realized that is really what she wanted to do, and how ultimately she got her acceptance into medical school and is now pursuing that path. So I hope you listened through the whole interview. Dahlia shares a ton of great information. Before we get started with the interview, though, I want to thank the three listeners that left 5-star ratings and reviews for us. We are up over 100 5-star ratings, which is awesome. We got a 5-star rating from Melissa. She says, "Is real and accessible." Melissa is from the oldpremeds.org community. And if you haven't been on that site, I highly recommend you go over there. Oldpremeds.org is a great site that is the non-traditional version of Student Doctor Network. And it's, I find it much better than Student Doctor Network. They're much more open, much more nice and honest at oldpremeds.org. So if you haven't been over there, go over there, introduce yourself, let them know that you found out about the site from the podcast, and say hi to Rich. He's Gonif over there, the username Gonif. We also have a 5-star rating from Latina Lone Star that says, "We're fantastic." She also had a recommendation about sharing some tips and experiences from pre-med and medical students who are also mothers. And Latina Lone Star, we are definitely actively looking into exactly that. There's a blog called Mothers in Medicine, and we've reached out to them and are asking for some people to interview. So hopefully we'll bring you some good interviews soon. And the other 5-star rating was left by Anesthesia2B. It says, Kevin, the pre-med, keeps my brain thinking and focused, always intrigued. Thank you. Thank you, Anesthesia2B. I guess Kevin is your name. So let's get into the interview with Dahlia. We start the interview by talking about how Dahlia started her path to medicine.
Well, I'm from Dallas, Texas, and I went to undergrad at University of Texas at Dallas. And that was actually just going to be temporary. I was going to go there for 1 year and then transfer to NYU. I don't know why. I just got it into my head that I really needed to go to NYU. And I did not know I wanted to be a doctor at that time. I wanted to do like writing or something creative, kind of like that. But I ended up not getting into NYU. That same summer, I happened to have a back injury and I had to get an MRI. And it was while I was laying in the MRI machine that it kind of just occurred to me that I could become a doctor. I really had never thought about it before then.
Just randomly, lying in that machine, hearing the clunking of the MRI.
Well, I was like, that tech was really nice. I guess I could be like an MRI tech. And then I was like, I guess I could be like a radiologist. And then UT Dallas is known for science and math. It was founded by the founders of Texas, who, you know, the calculator company. So it was really strong in engineering and like nanotechnology. And now it has like a huge pre-med program. So it was sort of fate that I ended up being there and deciding to go into medicine.
So that was that still your freshman year?
It was the summer after my freshman year.
Okay. So you went through your first year not pre-med.
No.
Still.
I took college algebra and pre-calculus.
Okay.
It ended up being total waste of credits because then I had to take real math.
Yeah, real math and real science. So the summer between first and second year, you had this epiphany lying in the MRI machine. You didn't have any other prior exposure to physicians? Nobody in your family is a physician?
No, no one in my family is a doctor. The closest is my uncle is a PhD doctor. He's a psychiatrist.
Okay.
But no, I mean, my sister had a lot of health problems growing up. She had really severe allergies. She's allergic to dairy and egg and penicillin and steroids. So she got an allergy, like a food allergy. She couldn't take steroids.
Wow.
So she ended up going to like all different specialists. She finally ended up going to a homeopathic doctor who is the one who really, he's actually a homeopathic doctor and an MD, but he ended up being able to help her.
Interesting.
But I have flashbacks of remembering thinking about doctors and sitting there watching the doctors talk to my sister, but I just always thought I wasn't a science person.
Okay. We'll dig into that.
That happens to a lot of girls.
I think a lot of girls might have that feeling, but I think society also might throw that. But that's a whole different subject, whole different podcast. So you have this epiphany lying in the MRI machine, and I keep saying that because it's funny.
Yeah, it really is how it happens. It's like, bam.
Where did you go from there? So you had no pre-med exposure as a freshman. You go, I want to be a doctor. What did you figure out from that point? Did you like go to your your pre-med, did you find a pre-med advisor on campus, or where did you start getting information?
The internet, primarily, I think.
Student doctor?
I can't remember the exact order, but I know that what I did that summer was I got a couple of books that are like kind of memoirs written by doctors about med school and stuff, like first person accounts. I think one was Intern Blues, which yep. scared me to death.
It's a very good book.
Yeah, it's really good, but it is not what internship is like. Luckily.
Yeah.
And I bought some book that was just like one page summaries of like all the med schools in the US and kind of what their, I think it was an AMCAS official book. I can't remember.
Okay.
And I just kind of like looking through it at all the med schools. And at the beginning it had a section about like requirements. And so then I never went to the pre-med office. I just decided to sign up for general chemistry, and decided I think I just did Gen Chem first. I did calculus in the spring, but basically I decided if I could get A's in Gen Chem and calculus that was a good sign.
That was your sign. That was your test. If you could get A's, then it was meant to be.
And I ended up getting an A in calculus. I don't know how, because I don't remember anything from calculus. But
neither does any other physician.
Yeah. But I like went to all the tutoring and worked on it like every day and ended up getting an A. I mean, I think I actually got like a 65, but they had to curve that class so much that was an A. So
it's all that matters is what's on the transcript.
Yeah.
So I would, even though you kind of started early on in your undergraduate career, I would call you a non-traditional student at this point, because you didn't come in knowing you wanted to be a doctor, and you started a little bit late and you kind of went at it on your own. You sound like a very non-traditional student. Would you count yourself into that crowd?
Oh, definitely. Plus at this point, I think I was 21 already, because I was 20 when I started undergrad. Yeah, so I was 21.
Okay, so you took some time off before undergrad.
I was like 3 years older than everyone else taking Gen Chem with me.
You stick out like a sore thumb? Okay.
I don't know if I stood out, but...
So you passed your little mini test and you got some A's. Did you go to the pre-med advisor then and say, okay, what now?
No, I don't think I went to the pre-med advisor until I was like ready to start really thinking about applying. The only person I talked to was someone in the, who was like a science advisor, like for science majors.
Okay.
Because I was at that point planning to get dual degrees in, I wasn't sure what, but probably biology. And then I was going to continue with my literature degree also.
Okay.
So I guess I talked to her, but I think I only went in once or twice. And that was just like, what classes do I have to take to get the degree? And
wow.
That was it, really.
So you kind of are winging it, I would say.
Yeah.
using the information from your books, maybe, and whatever you find online, which obviously, if it's online, it has to be true, right?
Yeah.
So was it smooth sailing from there? You did everything you needed to do. You applied and got in and lived life happily ever after.
No. It was pretty smooth for about 2 years. And then at that point, I just was really putting a lot of pressure on myself to do the 2 degrees. And I just thought I needed to do that. I went to some like pre-med, like a half day at UT Southwestern, where they hosted pre-medical students, and they just talk about applying and what do they look for? And they kind of talk about it generally, not just for their school, but they're also kind of trying to recruit you. So that scared me.
What about it scared you? Do you remember?
I just had this like timeline in my head that like I came up with a timeline that I needed to graduate. I mean, I knew it was going to take longer with 2 degrees, but it's like, I was like, okay, well, if it's 2 degrees, it's still impressive, even if I take 5 years because I have 2 different degrees. But it would have been, I think it would have been like 180 credit hours to do both degrees.
That's a lot.
So, that's a lot for 5 years even. And I just felt like if I took any like time off or was taking any less than 15 hours a semester that it looked bad. And I just was really concerned about like how everything was going to look on an application and just got really burnt out from being so focused on that. I feel like I lost kind of sight of enjoying my time in college.
I think that's a common thing. As a pre-med, there's seems like there's so many things that we have to do, and it has to conform, and it has to be perfect, and this is what the admissions committees want to see, and if they don't see it, then they're not going to be happy, and I'm not going to get in. And it sounds like that's what you were going through.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, the overall answer to that is no, but what were you going through at that point? What did you decide to do to kind of counteract all those feelings?
Well, I tried, I took a research position, like an internship doing not bench research, but basically chart review at Texas Back Institute. So it was like neurological stuff, like spine pain. And I was hoping that that would kind of, you know, be more hands-on and get me interested in it again and help me remember, you know, why I was excited about it. And also, you know, I had had my back problem and my dad has had, now he has had 2 spine surgeries, but he'd had all kinds of back problems already at that point. So I kind of had, that's why I wanted to do that. I thought I wanted to be a neurosurgeon because I had this like personal experience with pain. And so I took this internship and, well, I begged for it. They like created it for me. And I just did not enjoy it at all. Like I never wanted to go. When I was there, I wanted to leave. So it did not do what I thought it would do for me. Okay. And then it was winter break. I stopped that and then it was winter break. And then after winter break, I tried, you know, I was hoping that winter break would be a long enough vacation that then I would be remotivated, and I still was dreading going back to school. And so that spring I just started out doing, you know, the classes I thought I needed to do. And then I got like a couple weeks in, I think I was taking Orgo 1, and I was just like,
which everybody loves.
I mean, I actually ended up really liking Orgo when I took it later, but I just could not do it. I mean, I just could not make myself do it.
Yeah.
I was too burnt out. I was like not interested in any of it. I started getting sick. So I got like cold after cold after cold, and I had to miss like a week of school. And then, I mean, you can't miss a week of Orgo at the beginning of semester.
Yeah.
So then I just dropped all my science classes. I think I took only 2 classes that semester.
Wow. And at that point, did you say, yeah, pre-med, it's not for me, never mind?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not pre-med anymore. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay. So you're obviously in med school now. What was... Did you have another MRI? Were you lying on a table again and go, you know what? I really do want to do this. What got you back into it?
Well, so then I was taking, you know, just my back to my literature and philosophy courses. So I stopped being pre-med in the spring. Then the following fall, like September, October, maybe, I went to my philosophy professor's office to just kind of talk about grad school and like maybe I wanted to get a PhD in philosophy, maybe I wanted to teach. And so he was kind of like arguing that I should do that and was telling me all about getting a PhD in philosophy and what it's like to teach. And then I found myself kind of like arguing against it and like all the reasons I shouldn't do it and kind of like defending medicine. And so when I left there, I was kind of like, you know, it's like when someone, you ask like, what should I wear? And they tell you the wrong thing, then you know what you wanted to wear in the first place.
Yeah.
So he gave me the wrong answer. And then I realized like, I still wanted to do it. I felt really confused when I left there. So
what just happened?
Yeah. So then I was talking to a friend about it. She suggested that I meet her doctor who she just like loved and said he was so charismatic and such a good teacher. And so I went and met him and asked him if I could shadow him. And then I was pre-med again.
had you shadowed anybody?
I had shadowed my OB-GYN the summer before that. I was like in undergrad so long that now the timeline is confusing.
Yeah. But, okay. So you had shadowed somebody before.
I had shadowed not much. It was like a half day once a week for a month or two.
Okay. And what was it about this new shadowing experience that reignited your desire to be pre-med again?
I don't think it was the shadowing that did it. I think that in that time off, I matured and just got more secure and more stable in all the other areas of my life and felt less like external pressure to like I had to do it a certain way. And then shadowing just kind of showed me how much I wanted to do it because I woke up at 4:45 in the morning to drive across town to be there at 7 a.m. before the sun came up in the cold winter, cold Dallas winter.
Yeah. So you were getting used to being a resident.
Yeah, but I was excited.
Yeah.
Oh, so after doing that, you know, especially after doing that every single, and this was like Friday morning too, at the end of the week, after doing that for over a month and still wanting to go, then I was like, just felt more confident that I did still want to do it, and it had just been a break that I needed.
What kind of stuff were you doing while you were shadowing? Can you talk about the shadowing experience for a little bit?
I love shadowing. I wish I could still shadow all the time.
As a med student, as a resident, you will still have plenty of shadowing opportunities.
There's more expectations now, so it's not as much fun as more responsibility. But I dressed nicely and showed up before any of his patients. You know, I did what he told me to do. You know, he told me to dress, you know, business appropriate, and he wanted me to be there before anyone came, so he could kind of get me ready and look through the patients he was going to have. And then he at first just would have me come in and, you know, would introduce me and I'd shake the patient's hand and then I would just watch the, encounter basically. Then, you know, as he got to know me better, I would sometimes ask questions in the room if it was like something I thought the patient might want to know, you know, not something offensive or really detailed or, you know, but then I would ask him questions out in the hallway and be like, why'd you prescribe that? Or how do you know, you know, just, I was like at the basics. I'm like, what's metformin?
Yeah.
Or I would like Google whatever, you know, look up on my phone, whatever he had just prescribed and see what it was. And then try to ask him a question based off of that. and then as he got to know me better, like trust me more, after a month or so, he would like send me in the room alone and be like, start getting this patient in the computer. Like, I didn't know any of the terms at the time. Basically, I was getting their chief complaint and taking their review of systems.
Wow.
And he would like hand me his stethoscope and have me listen to their heart and lungs. So it was really fun. I loved it.
That's a great experience. And I wish more physicians were that open and that willing to help a pre-med student find their passion, because that's exactly what you need to experience to know if it's right for you.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. So you're back on at that point. Did you go to the pre-med advisor then? No.
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay.
I think I did at that point. It wasn't, obviously didn't make that big of an impression on me because I don't remember the first time I went, but, I mean, I know when I was thinking about actually taking the MCAT, I went in, to figure out when I should take it and all of that. And I was trying to decide which year I should apply because I was kind of behind in the prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up actually taking the MCAT before I finished physics. So, which the pre-med advisor advised against.
Yeah.
But my mentor advised me to do. So I listened to the doctor instead of the advisor.
And that's not a bad thing. And I think from what you saw I talk about it all the time on the show, on the podcast, is the MCAT is the least content-based test out there for any of the GRE, the LSAT, the med school courses, AP courses. The MCAT tests your ability to take a test. It doesn't really test your content. There obviously is content that you need to know, but
barely any.
Yeah. For the most part, you read the question, you can figure out the answer from the question.
In some ways, I think it was easier not knowing that much because I just knew I had to rely on my reasoning and what was in the passage and not think I knew the answer based on like outside knowledge.
Yeah. Like, oh, I remember that one weird equation and you start spending 10 minutes on that equation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good info. So after you regained your passion, was it pretty set from there? You didn't have any more kind of second thoughts and doubting yourself, or were you pretty full steam ahead at that point?
Oh, I doubted myself. I knew
we
I
all do.
Med school. I didn't doubt medicine anymore, but it was pretty straightforward from there. I just was trying, you know, like I said, I struggled with when I should apply. But at one of those like pre-med type conferences, I talked to an admissions person and asked them what they thought about taking the MCAT before taking physics 2. And they basically said, you should just go ahead and try and apply because there's a chance you could get in. Even if you don't get in, you'll reapply. I mean, if I didn't get in either way, it would be another year before I got in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And at that point, were you just a four-year undergrad student? Overall, you still did undergrad in 4 years, or did you take an extra year?
No. I was on my fifth year at that point.
Okay. So a fifth year undergrad, or 5 years for undrad.
Senior.
And that's okay. How did that play out with your applications and interviewing? Did you get questions about your time off and why you started late and the time that you took off?
I used one of my personal statements to just write about, I just focused on the positive with it. I talked about how I knew after high school, I just needed time off before college because I didn't feel motivated and I didn't want to go there and waste my time and money or anyone else's time and money. and not want to be there. And I just basically wrote that I felt the same way now. I needed that time off, away from being pre-med and, to consider other options, like maybe I wanted to be a PA or a nurse or nothing medical at all, but I still came back to it and just knew I was ready. So I don't think anybody asked me about my time off. I know nobody asked me about how long it took me to do my undergrad. It's like no one noticed.
Like, what are they looking at?
I mean, I don't even know if they read that essay.
And nobody, with all that time off, nobody questioned your desire to be a physician, and were you really sure that's what you wanted to do?
Nobody asked me.
Okay.
Anything about it. I don't know if my essay, my statement just convinced them before interviews of that already, or if they just assumed it. I mean, I think they kind of question that less with older applicants just because it's already kind of harder to be, need more sleep.
Yeah.
I don't have the advantage.
Yeah. And I think that's the take home message here is that everybody starts off their pre-med path with what they think are all these check boxes that they need to accomplish. And if you do all these things, then you're going to get into med school. If you take all the right classes, if you get A's in all of them, if you take the MCAT at the perfect time and get the perfect score and you have a great GPA, then you're going to get into med school. And I think, obviously, you're only one person, but we tell the story over and over and over again, and we hear it from deans of admissions, and I try to get as much information. So you're not the only story that I'm telling, but you're just another story of somebody that didn't fill all those check boxes properly, and you kind of filled in some circles and didn't check a box, and you kind of did your own thing.
Yeah.
And you still made it into med school. And I think students need to hear that, and non-traditional students as well, because those are the ones that are out there on the fence going, but I'm not that perfect pre-med student, so I don't know if they're going to like me. I'm a little bit different. I'm not a pure science person. And you're not that pure science person. You're
definitely not.
you're that right-brained person that you were talking about during another call that we had. And you're in med school. You're doing it. You got in, and nobody questioned it during your interviews.
No, not at all. I mean, if anything, I think it absolutely gave me an advantage that I was unusual for an applicant. I feel like that because there are a lot of things that would actually have helped me now in med school. I mean, having done bench research is helpful. I'm just really not interested in it. But you know, if I hadn't gone in, I probably would have done that during the year off. But I feel like I got in on my first try because I was a literature major and philosophy minor and had a lot of shadowing experience, and I was just very clearly going to be a clinician, not a researcher.
Yeah.
But I think they just look for like confidence and being sure in your path. Not necessarily like specialty or anything, but just being confident that you're ready to do this because it's hard. So if you're not ready, I think people should take a year off after undergrad if they're not quite sure they're ready, because I think med school is fun, but it's only fun because I had fun before too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard for, and I agree with you. I think everybody should take some time off between undergrad and med school. I took 3 years off, and I think that time off gives you time to unwind before the craziness of med school and residency. Yeah. And it gives you a different perspective on life. That I think helps you interact and be able to understand your patients a little bit more. If you've been a student your whole life and now all of a sudden you're a resident, you really don't have that life experience that patients might be talking about and trying to explain to you why they missed their diabetes medication for a week.
Because they needed to go to work.
Yeah, because they needed to go to work and they just couldn't make it to CVS and you're just thinking, why not? So I think that's great experience.
Yeah. So and I just felt like when I tell pre-meds this, when they ask me about interviewing, I remember I was so nervous about interviewing, but I also felt like if I got an interview, I felt like I was kind of set because I knew I was better in person than I was on paper because I didn't have all those check boxes. So it's like if I could get past the paper part, then I could like. But I had so much fun at my interviews because I wasn't nervous about them asking me anything because I could just be honest. Like I really knew for sure I wanted to go to med school and I didn't have to have some like answer prepared. If I had interviewed even a year before that, I wouldn't have been able to feel that confident.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now you got in and you're in loving life.
Yeah.
And drawing lots of fun cartoons. I want to talk about your cartoons. When did you start drawing these things?
I started drawing them last spring. Kind of when I was taking microbiology, I started using this website called Picmonic that is picture mnemonic devices. And they're just like really crazy pictures that you draw to help you remember, you know, because there's like a billion kinds of staph and you need to remember which ones are catalase positive and all these teeny details that are just really hard to get straight. So, like doing something physically and hearing it and saying it and like as many different senses as I can use, that is how I learn the best. So I recommend that website to medical students.
Yeah.
But kind of got my drawing juices going, I guess. I used to love art when I was like real young and I kind of just put it down and never went back to it like since high school until now.
Okay. What's been your favorite or what's been your most well-received picture?
Probably the most well-received ones are like charts, like infographics that I do. I think the most popular one was, I think I called it the ups and downs of medical school. And it was like, a graph and it's like the x-axis is the time of day and the y-axis is my mood and it's like wake up, eat breakfast, drink coffee and like it shoots way up, like get to school and it like shoots to the bottom and then it's like just goes, you know, typical med student daily activities. It's like lecture one, lecture two, lecture three, mood is getting worse, and then every time it's food my mood gets vastly improved.
A little spike there. Mm-hmm. What gives you the inspiration to draw something?
I don't know. I guess just there's just so many absurd things in medical school that we all laugh at all the time, and then it just occurs to me like, oh, that would be pretty easy to draw. You know, I try to think of kind of like a montage type of thing, like, I don't know, all the ways I could spend my time during exam week, you know, and draw like 4 to 6 situations of things that I shouldn't be doing.
One of my favorite ones was the refrigerator with all the different food, in it, the food of medical school, or whatever you called it, with the strawberry tongue and everything else. I thought that was pretty well done.
There's so many disgusting food metaphors in medicine.
Yes, there are. You'll never look at food the same again.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And talk about your blog. The blog that you do is more than just the pictures, right?
Yeah. I just put up one tonight that was a written post. But it just depends, because pictures I can draw, you know, during class, or I can, like right now, I have
You're supposed to be listening during class.
It actually helps me listen to do something else while I'm listening.
Interesting.
Like doodle. Or I'll just sketch an idea. I don't know. Sometimes on a weekend, I'll draw like 4 and have them like ready to go. So when I'm really busy, I can't really like write out a long blog. But I try to write, you know, like pre-med advice and kind of different aspects about applying to med school or shadowing, or I wrote a few product reviews of things like Picmonic and this other website, Firecracker, that just like have really helped me, which like they didn't pay me to write or anything. I just think, you know, like I only heard about it because a friend was like, hey, have you heard? I just want other people to know about it. What else do I do? Every once in a while, I do something kind of political, but I try not to do that too much.
Yeah. No, it's good. I've read a bunch of your stuff, and I love your pictures. They make me laugh. And you had one recently about the steps to get to the doctor or something with the rocks. I said that you needed to put a barbed wire fence around step one. Make it a little more realistic. And
Kaiser Family Foundation's like residency program replied to me on Twitter and said that the rocks needed to be much narrower and much taller.
Yes, more like
more dangerous.
Yes, Mount Everest, not just little pebbles.
Yeah,
yeah, they're great. They're a good laugh, and I'll link to a bunch of that stuff in the show notes. Where can people find all your stuff?
My blog is at www.thehealthscout.blogspot.com. And then on Twitter, I'm at HealthScoutBlog.
All right. And I'll put links to those in the show notes. So people can easily get to them. So while they're driving, they don't have to write down all that stuff.
Yeah.
What is some parting wisdom that you might have for a non-traditional student, or even a traditional student out there that is questioning their desires?
My advice would be to ask for help, talk to as many people as you can, like especially doctors. Listen to young doctors over any pre-med advisor. If someone who just finished medical school tells you to do something, just do that. And if you already know, but you're just, you know, going through like the fear and self-doubt with applying, then, you know, it's okay to be scared. Just keep doing all the stuff you're supposed to do, and the fear goes away. Work out, even though it doesn't feel like it will.
All right, folks, that was Dahlia. I hope you got a ton of great information today. And the take-home message really is you can do whatever you want as a pre-med. There are obviously specific prereqs that you need to get taken care of, and every school is a tiny bit different, but for the most part, there's a set core of classes that you need to take. You obviously need to take the MCAT for the majority of medical schools. And other than that, go live your dreams. Go do what you're passionate about. Dahlia did exactly that, and she is still in medical school, still pursuing her dreams of becoming a physician. So go say hi to Dahlia. She's at Health Scout Blog on Twitter. And again, I'll have links to that in the show notes, which you can get at medicalschoolhq.net/53, as in session 53 for today's episode. As always, I do want to remind you, this podcast is brought to you by the Academy at Medical School Headquarters, an online membership site for helping you through the pre-med process. With monthly office hours, webinars, and a growing library of video and audio interviews and courses, it is a vital tool to help you get into and through medical school. Just go to jointheacademy.net for more information. Folks, I hope you continue the conversation with us. You can do that at the show notes. I mentioned medicalschoolhq.net/53 for today's episode. You can find us on Twitter. We're at medicalschoolhq. And Dahlia, again, is at Health Scout Blog. Or you can shoot me an email. I am ryan@medicalschoolhq.net. I want to thank you, as always, for continuing to give up a little bit of your time to listen to the podcast today. And I hope you join us next week here at the Medical School Headquarters.